The word manna is used in the Bible and throughout all of salvation history has a very profound and deeply religious meaning. As we just heard in our first reading today, it is the food God miraculously provided for his people throughout the entire 40 years of their journey in the desert as they made their way to the promised land. And so, given the source of this food and the way it was provided, you would think that the word manna itself would mean something profound and deeply religious. Something like the all-holy and mighty nourishment from God, or the power bar of God fed to the angels, given to men. But no, the word manna in Hebrew means exactly what the people said to each other when they first saw it lying on the desert ground like flakes. What is it? That's what it means. What is it? When I first heard this, I was surprised. I said, whoa, that can't be right. And then I thought, well, you know, it's kind of humorous too. Here is this food that God himself fed his people with, and what do they call it? What is it? But it's not only humorous, it's also spot on, considering it prefigures what we celebrate in today's solemnity of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Christ, the true bread of life. Now, how many of us think of this original meaning of the word manna when we come to receive our Lord in the sacrament? Probably none of us. But I think it would be good for us to think about that if we did. Think about what that means. We should always, but especially when we come to receive, have in our minds and in our hearts the answer to that question, what is it? We should know without a doubt that the bread and the wine truly become the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ, God in flesh, coming to us. This is the foundation and the core of what we believe, and it's why the church has also identified it as being the very source and the summit of our Catholic faith. Throughout the centuries, the church has, from her desire to know more and more of this most holy of sacraments, has strived to deepen her knowledge and understanding. And so from that, we can also refer to the sacrament as the breaking of the bread, which means a meal of communion and friendship with our Lord and with one another. The Eucharist, we're all familiar with that, which means thanksgiving to God, our Father, for everything, for the gift of creation, for the gift of our own lives, but most especially for the gift of salvation given to us through the merits of his Son, Jesus Christ. The memorial of Christ's death and resurrection, which makes his death and resurrection real and active within us. We also call it Holy Communion, a taste of heaven, and the real presence. All of these in their own way help us to answer more deeply that all-important question, what is it? Now, from these answers to that question, there naturally follows another important question, and that is, what does the sacrament do for us? In other words, what is our Lord doing for us through this sacrament to help us to live the life that he calls us to live? All three of our readings today provide us with some answers to this question. In the first reading, Moses tells his people to remember and not forget the Lord God and all he has done for them throughout their entire journey to the promised land. We are on a journey also, right? To the eternal promised land. And like the people of the Old Testament, God is with us, Emmanuel, guiding us and providing for all of our needs. So to neglect him and even forget him in all that he has done and all that he continues to do for us is not only to be ungrateful, but it's also to forget who we are and why we are. That's how important Eucharist is to us. When we do that, we resign ourselves to living for the bread of this world alone, and we end up looking to the false gods of this world to provide for us and to tell us who and why we are. And the world out there certainly wants to do that every day. Every time we celebrate Mass, Jesus, who is the new Moses, is present leading us and reminding us through his word, who he created and redeemed us to be and what his will is for us. And then he feeds us for our journey in this life with his own body and blood, the new manna from heaven. In our second reading, St. Paul tells us that the cup of blessing is a participation in the blood of Christ, and the bread is a participation in the body of Christ. Well, from hearing this, we all know the what is it that St. Paul tells us. The cup contains the blood of Christ. The bread is his body. But what about that other question? To participate in the blood of Christ, which is what we commit ourselves to when we come forward and say amen, is to participate in his death. Does that mean that we must be crucified like him? No, not literally. But it does mean that we must experience that daily dying within us so that we can also experience that daily rising within us. And the last words that Jesus spoke as he prayed to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane tells us what this dying is. Not my will, but yours be done. We must let go of and die to our own earthbound wants and desires, our own plans, and the ways that we satisfy these that really serve only our will, our own wills, and instead live according to the will of God for us. Marriage and family life, although not the only place, is the primary place where we live this out. Husbands and wives, you lay down your own will for the good of each other and for the good of the sacrament. And if God blesses you with children, you do the same for them, for the good of them. So that when they leave the home, and eventually they do, sometimes, my dad says, I have four sisters and they like to come back. And he says, after a while, them all coming back, he says, I'm going to put a revolving door in the front of our house so they can come in and out so easily. But when they do leave eventually and stay, they too will choose to live not for their own wills, but for the will of God, wherever that leads them. Now, none of this is possible to the depth and the degree that God wills it without Christ. It's impossible without Christ. Through our participation in his blood, he gives us both the desire and the strength of will to live this, something we all need. And through our participation in his body, he gives us his own life as the means to do this. In our gospel today, Jesus sums it up all by saying, I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Eternal life is what God made us all for. And what is eternal life? It is the fullness of our participation in the covenant love that God has for us. In the Eucharist, God gives us, here and now in our everyday lives, a taste of that eternal life, a taste of heaven, in the real presence of Jesus, who is again the bread of life. That, brothers and sisters, is the what is it, and it is the what it does for us. So we answer those two questions. Today we also celebrate Father's Day. And so happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. I know you've already heard that today, I hope. With the help of Christ, through the power of this sacrament today and the sacrament of marriage, you have been entrusted with the joy-filled gift of being the face of God the Father to your children. And don't worry, none of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes, but as long as we try and we ask God for the Christ for the power to do that in our family, he is always with us. And to give you and your wife a little help with this, our parish's Knights of Columbus Council, along with our clergy, invites each couple present to affirm their wedding vows today, at this very moment. And we hope that by doing so, you and your spouse will again experience the grace received on your wedding day when you gave witness to the covenant union of Christ and the church. So, and you'd ask all married couples if you would please stand and take the right, join your right hands, face each other, look into each other's eyes. And to make it more easy, Mary and I, my wife, are going to model this for you up front. I know she doesn't want to do that, but we're going to. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life.
I will love and honor you all the days of my life.
Okay, that was cool, wasn't it? You may kiss the bride and the husband. Thank you, love. Okay.
You may please stay where you are and hold the hand still. Yeah, please don't let go. Make sure you look in the eyes. Dear brothers and sisters, on your wedding day, you joined your lives in an unbreakable bond through the sacrament of matrimony. I invite you now to join your right hands and pray together for God's continued grace and blessings upon your marriage. Lord, our God and Creator, we bless and praise your name. In the beginning, you made man and woman, so that they might enter a communion of life and love. You likewise bless the union of these married couples, so that they might reflect the union of Christ with his church. Look with kindness on them today. Amid the joys and struggles of their life, you have preserved the union between them. Renew their marriage covenant. Increase your love in them, and strengthen their bond of peace, so that surrounded by their children and grandchildren, they may always rejoice in the gift of your blessing. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And please bow your heads for the blessing. May God, the eternal Father, keep you of one heart in love for one another, that the peace of Christ may dwell in you and abide always in your home. Amen.
Amen.
May you be blessed in your children, have solace in your friends, and enjoy true peace with everyone. Amen. Amen. May you be witnesses in the world to God's charity, so that the afflicted and needy who have known your kindness may one day receive you thankfully into the eternal dwelling of God. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations again.
Now you may leave for the honeymoon.